From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Guilty Movie Pleasures. And now, here are your hosts, two of the guiltiest cats I know, Josh McCouga and Steve Simone.
All right, Schmoville!
Schmoville!
Coming in hot today, Mr. Simone. We are just on fire.
I know,
I'm We've
so
been waiting
excited.
2 weeks for this.
I know.
Last week we came in, there was just a minor snafu scheduling-wise. I apologize because we were supposed to do it Monday and my flights got all messed up. And then we came in Tuesday. It was just...
Yeah.
Anyway, people have been patiently waiting for this
GMP.
Yeah,
thank you, guys.
Thank you so much, Schmoville, as always. And before we get into it, first of all... Last week, we hit number 3 on iTunes.
Yeah, that's incredible.
At one point, we were 2. I don't know if you saw that picture.
I did see that.
We were number 2 on iTunes, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much. I mean...
How does that happen?
They're rating. They're liking. They're subscribing. They're
thank
telling
you
their
so
friends.
Much. Yeah, please do more of that stuff is my point.
Comment.
If you're smart enough to figure out how it happens, let's get more of that going, guys.
Listen, I don't know how the internet works. I just know that when I click on things, they go places, right?
Yeah.
So when you click the 5 stars and you comment and you rate and you tell us what you like, and thank you guys for liking the fan page that Cody Hall, the intern, is running.
Awesome.
Guilty Movie Pleasures on the Schmoes No Network is the fan page on Facebook, and Schmoville on Facebook. So
yeah, and I want to thank all you guys for I did my first Q&A.
Nice. Then
we hung out online for like an hour and a half. It was awesome. So all you guys have participated in that, thank you.
Yeah, and so Steve being welcomed with open arms in
Schmoville.
Yeah, it's awesome. So thank you guys so much. We've been getting so many great tweets and comments on Facebook and all that stuff. Like, we love your show. We love what you guys are doing, which makes us feel pretty special.
I love it.
So without further ado, people have been waiting for it. We got Rocky 3.
Speaking of the greatest.
Holy cow. Now, the reason we brought in Rocky 3 was because a couple weeks ago, the lead singer of Survivor passed away.
God rest his soul.
And this movie basically... I mean, it came out 6 years after Rocky II. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't realize it was that long.
It was that long. And, because Rocky 1 and 2 were kind of... basically one movie in two movies, really. They knew Rocky, and then they came back, and they basically made Rocky 1 again, just with a different outcome for the most part.
The outcome we all wanted to see.
Correct, right. And Rocky, the original Rocky, won for Best Picture.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The fact that he couldn't get it made, he couldn't get made, and then it wins an Oscar, that's a true
incredible
Hollywood story. It really is.
And everybody's
been asking, why do we bring on Rocky 3 as a guilty movie pleasure, especially JTE's like, it's not a guilty pleasure. That's the beautiful part about the show, is that people argue about whether or not it's a guilty pleasure.
And I agree. Dude, I don't care what we call this show. I just want to talk about movies that were awesome.
Yes, exactly.
Are awesome. Yeah. Movies that I want to see all the time.
Right.
And this is one of those movies. Thank God we got to do it.
Yeah.
Because I've grew up with this movie,
mm-hmm.
and whenever it's on, I just keep it on.
Absolutely.
But it's been a while since I went back from beginning to end, and this movie is, it's the greatest.
It's just awesome.
It's just awesome scene after awesome scene after. There's no lull.
No. Because now movies like this, I feel like if you made this movie, it would be 2 hours. 2 hours, 10 minutes, something like that, which you don't need. This movie's an hour and 38 minutes, right? And it really went from Rocky 1 and 2, which were like solid dramas. There wasn't much to it, too.
Yeah.
Now this next step into the Rocky franchise, which kind of took it into like the MTV America, right?
I completely agree. This was essentially a music video for Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, it was, because it starts out, well, like every Rocky movie, it starts out with how the fight ended,
so good.
Which is great, and we see him beating Apollo, and then
new
world
champion,
and everybody's pumped, and then it goes into this insane montage with an introducing Survivor's Eye of the Tiger, because you talked about when it debuted in Philadelphia, when it debuted in Pittsburgh. Listen, there isn't a pump tape that didn't go by in high school or grade school that didn't have Survivor Eye of the Tiger on it. Right? Me and my brother shared a sports Walkman. Do you remember those sports
Walkmans? The yellow one?
The yellow ones, right? And we would alternate week to week mowing the lawn. Now, if my dad had his way, Ben would only mow the lawn because he is so good at mowing lawns.
Right.
And I mowed the lawn like a drunk dude. Like, it was just like zigzags wherever I kind of wanted to go. My dad would come out and just like, oh, God, it's so
I guess that's good enough.
Yeah, right? So, but we would share it, and there was always a pump tape from like either from Ben's soccer or basketball, from a mixtape that I made.
Get you in the zone.
Correct. To get me in the zone before a swim meet or whatever.
For your own training montage.
Exactly. And Survivor Eye of the Tiger was on every single pump tape without a doubt. It just...
Digga, 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 bam! Bam, bam, bam.
And if you don't get pumped up, listen to that song, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you are.
You have no
heart. It's impossible.
Yeah. I was watching Rocky III last night working out, and usually the workout goes about 50 minutes. I stayed the whole, and I was just boxing by myself.
Oh, like, it's in the greatest.
Because there aren't, before we get into the plots, let's just get into it.
Yeah, okay.
We go in. Now Rocky, it's not a training montage to open the movie, right?
No.
It's a life montage.
Yeah, he's just killing life.
Right. And he's fighting dudes like, hold on, let me pull up. This dude's name that he fights that's on the marquee is...
There were some fantastic names.
His name is Big Yank Ball. It's one of the dudes that he fights in Vegas. He gets and just says, Rocky versus Big Yank Ball.
Oh, okay. That's hysterical.
The guy is either... of ex-porn star or getting into porn or like a serious insult against the Asian community.
Like,
Big Yank Ball. What? That's terrible. And so we're in this life montage, and obviously like we see him, and in only a way Rocky can do, because there's no other boxing matches where you're punching a dude and they are flying into the ropes.
It's
WWF. Right.
Yeah, well, those boxing scenes in all the Rocky movies are the greatest. The slow mo, and people are like, no! It's the best.
Don't hit him that hard.
Yeah, but Rocky's killing life. We see all this. He's smashing all of his opponents. What's he get? Like 10 title defenses.
Yeah.
So Rocky's life's here. Maybe Paulie's life isn't as good as Rocky's, because that's where its story kind of picks up.
What's crazy is that like it starts in his first title defense, right? And Paulie's already pissed at Rocky. Like we don't even know why he's pissed. Like shows him the crowd, and Paulie's like, I don't like him.
Yeah.
And he's got his hat and his hair is all tussled, and he's not getting the attention that he should get, right? But we don't know. Like all we keep seeing is Rocky killing it.
Yep.
Right. Then this new dude. We see
watching
him in the crowd, watching him, which is the
debut of none other than
Mr. T.
So awesome.
Little known fact, 1,400 guys auditioned for that role.
Wow.
Right? And they picked up Mr. T, Diamond in the Rough.
Yeah, they did it perfect.
I wonder if his hair was like that going in the audition. I would love to interview Mr. T.
I think it was.
Was it?
I think, I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure won that toughest bouncer contest on NBC or something
right.
like that. And I think that's where the casting people sort of ran
Found
into
him. Because if you ran into Mr. T and he was a bouncer and he had that haircut and those feather earrings all the way up his ear, you're not going to mess with Mr. T, because you don't know if he's a karate, he's a Native American like soul
seeker.
Yeah,
you don't know.
You don't know. So he's in the crowd, and now Clubber Lang is, we get to introduce, that's the guy's name is Clubber Lang.
Tremendous.
Okay, whoever is in charge of the Rocky franchise and the names that they came up with, beyond genius. That like takes the McRib, throws it on the ground, and lights it on fire.
It's very comic bookish when you think about it. A lot of the names in the Rockies.
Apollo Creed is
that's
the man's name.
That's a comic book. Yeah, it's priceless.
Clubber Lang.
Amazing.
Okay.
Spider Rico from the first Rocky. Remember, that's the first guy. Who'd you fight? Spider Rico.
Yeah.
That bum.
Yeah. But Spider Rico is the guy's
name.
Tremendous
name.
Amazing. And a lot of people are asking, like, why we're doing Rocky 3, why not 4 or 5? We're going to do 4, and we're going to do 5.
Yeah.
We're not in a row. That's special
awesome.
Moments. I mean, our Christmas edition might have to be Rocky 4 because it takes place on Christmas Day.
Yeah, but at least we don't keep our people behind walls. Remember Paulie gets off the plane in the Eagles hat? As a fan.
I hope they have my comics there. So we're in this montage. And if you notice one thing about every montage where somebody gets rich, there's always a motorcycle scene. Because
hysterical.
If you're going to spend your money on something stupid and you have disposable income, you spend it on a motorcycle, ladies and gentlemen. Because they're just stupid.
Well, I really did notice? When we come out of that montage and Paulie's been arrested, you see Rocky, not only does he have the Maserati, he upgraded from the IROC or the Trans Am. He had a Trans Am.
Yep.
And then he's got like he's like the dapper.
Oh.
I mean,
dressed to the nines.
Dressed to the nines. Yeah. I was watching Rocky III, and I'm like, I need to go find some Rocky III clothes. Like when I make it, watch, the camel hair overcoat, and there was nothing better than the Rocky III sweater when he's having the makeout scene with Adrian during the picnic.
With the flower, they like cut to a flower and they're rolling in the grass, and the motorcycle's just parked behind them. Like, let's take the motor, and they're driving motorcycles, no helmets. Neither one of them have a helmet on.
It was the 80s.
It was the 80s. Nobody cared. The funny thing is, if you notice, Paulie walks into that arcade, right? It's the end of the training montage. He's hammered.
Yep.
And I wrote up on this board over here, which the fans can't really see. Is Paulie the greatest movie drunk of all time? When he's drunk, he's good and drunk.
Oh, he's great.
You know? I think...
Do you know who my favorite movie drunk of all time, though?
Nicolas Cage in Leaving Las Vegas?
No. the uncle in It's a Wonderful Life. Because he's singing, I am my wild Irish rose. Uncle Billy. Remember, and he had to tie the string around his finger to make the bank deposit? What do you mean? And Potter stole it. It sets up the whole movie. So I love Pauly. Pauly might be the most, he might be the best ungrateful family member in history.
Without a doubt. Right? Just give me a job. You're rich now, you jerk.
You remember your I don't sweat you. Yeah. I love how that is.
It's his line. Like, I don't sweat you. He said it to Apollo. He said it to Mr. T. He said it to Rocky.
Yeah, he said it to Thunder Lips too, didn't he?
Thunder Lips too, yeah. Pauly was trying to get something, like he was trying to get a slogan read. Like he was trying to get a catchphrase on a t-shirt. It basically was, I don't sweat you.
So
it just
great.
Never really took off, unfortunately.
Oh, it was so great.
I feel like we should get t-shirts made that say, I don't sweat you.
Be the best.
Oh my God.
And draw a cartoon Pauly.
Yeah. And Pauly is the perfect cartoon guy because he got the hat. You could just do the
cigar.
Outline. Anybody out there in Schmoville that wants to design a t-shirt for us, just black and white that says, I don't sweat you, and has a picture of Pauly, we will gladly get those made and we will
for
send
sure.
those to you. Just don't
yeah,
you have
awesome.
To live in the States because we don't ship international. So he gets to that arcade and he's walking around all drunk and he's like got this smile on his face. He kind of looks like a pedophile to a certain
extent.
Well,
you could tell he's supposed to be drunk because of the music they're playing. It's like, yeah. And they're doing the camera angle. And then he comes across the Rocky pinball machine.
Which, if you are anybody that had money in Philadelphia or anywhere in the world, if you had a Rocky pinball machine, forget about it. That's incredible. Yeah, that's better than a limo, a private jet, anything like that. If you had enough money in your basement to have a Rocky pinball machine, you were the coolest kid in the neighborhood.
You would still be the coolest kid.
Without a doubt. Yeah. I guarantee you, if you went to your 15-year high school reunion and you saw, like, Dave Francesco had the Rocky pinball machine.
Did he really?
No, Brett Saladonia in my high school, his parents, they were Italian, obviously, a lot of money. They had the Rocky pinball machine in their basement.
Get out of here.
They had the stand-up Ninja Turtles video game.
Oh my dude, that's the best house ever.
Ever. Yes. And they had the original NBA Jam stand-up NBA Jam.
Oh, you don't what are they doing now with their life?
I don't know.
It's all gotta be downhill.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I don't
like that's as good as life gets.
You hit peak when you're 10.
Dude, yeah.
It's all downhill after that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it can't get better than that.
No. So then Pauly winds up, and Pauly's left-handed. I don't know if you noticed that in the thing.
When he throws the whiskey bottle?
Through, he's lefty, like Rocky is.
I didn't notice that.
And he's got a rifle of an arm. I mean, he really shatters that thing. So then Rocky picks him up, and you know if you're rich because you've got that thing that, like the chain that connects.
Goes over your tie thing.
Your
I noticed that gold thing.
I want one of those things.
I want the Rocky III style.
Oh, man, that is the when.
Dude, one of my all-time favorite comedians ever is this kid, Sebastian. I think he's the funniest person.
Sebastian Maniscalco?
Yeah, he's the best. He's like the funniest person ever.
He's awesome.
But he was up at the Comedy Store the other night, and I go, Sebastian dresses like Rocky.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Versace, like high-end designer stuff, very dapper.
Yeah, yeah.
If I had my life together, that's what I would like to dress like.
Me and you both.
Right?
If we can get, like, some stylists to come in here and, like, put us in suits all the time.
Oh, it'd be great.
Good
Rocky III style.
I know.
The best.
So then...
Those sunglasses
you had. Oh, incredible. Just taking it to a whole new level. So then he goes back to the house, and
this is what happens. I think we have to set this is we see Rocky's life flying awesome. He's knocking everybody out. Yeah. Everything's great. There's this mysterious man who's very intimidating.
Right.
Just watching him like this, shaking his head.
Yeah. He's
with ill will.
With Ill
then the Rocky's best friend Pauly is
Adrian's
his life
brother.
Spiraling
yeah.
out of control.
Mm-hmm.
He throws a whiskey bottle, gets arrested. Rocky bails him out. Rocky's dressed like a straight G. He's driving a Maserati. Pauly starts the fight with him.
Right.
And then he was just like, friends don't know friends.
Yeah.
Right? And he get this stupid X-Lax watch. It's supposed to be Rolex.
Yeah,
and he's, what do you get this? You let Mick live with you?
And then you notice he pulls it off and it's elastic. It's an elastic banded watch.
Hysterical.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And then he was just like, he tries to fight Rocky.
Yeah. Because he doesn't sweat him.
Yeah. I don't sweat you.
Yeah.
And then he's out of breath.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, you're crazy.
Yeah. And then, boom, he gets him a job.
Can
all
I have
Pauly
a job?
Wants is he wants
that's
is a
all
job.
He just wants. Most angry people just want to hang out. Yeah, that's the button. That's the cop.
Yeah. All you had to do was ask. So then flash forward. They're doing a charity event, and in walks Thunder
Oh,
Lips.
It's the greatest. Because now Pauly's in the house.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with the kid.
Uh-huh.
Mickey's in the house.
Yep.
He's
one big
reading
happy
to
family.
The kid. It's all just fun and games. It's the perfect life.
Right.
Right? And then Rocky's got...
The charity event with Thunder Lips. And this is the introduction, really. And you were telling us a story about Thunder Lips as Hulk Hogan, yada, yada, yada. You were saying he was a big deal before he was Thunder Lips.
Well, he was a wrestler. A lot of people don't think he was in the WWF before Rocky III. But he was for a little bit. He did have a little feud with Andre. I know way too much about pro wrestling. But he left to do this movie.
Right.
And that's what really kicked it off, because a lot of people don't realize that Hulk Hogan... actually used to play Eye of the Tiger when he entered the ring before he had his own before the licensing issue came out and the WWF, now WWE, had to give him his own theme music.
Got it. Now, I don't know if you know this, but one of our favorite songs, You're the Best Around by Joe Esposito, which ended up becoming the theme for Karate Kid, was the original choice for it wasn't Survivor, Eye of the Tiger.
Get out of here.
Joe Esposito wanted, and then Rocky heard it, or Stallone heard it. He's like, I don't know if this is right or not. But that originally Joe Esposito's Best Around was in line to be the Eye of the Tiger song.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but instead went to Karate Kid. So you're talking this Joe Esposito was on the cusp of being in a Rocky franchise, but then ended up in Karate Kid. I mean, in the 80s, that's the closest second you're going to get.
Yeah, I once read an article where they were like, Karate Kid was just Rocky for teenagers. And I was like, oh, yeah, totally was. Nailed Mr. It. Miyagi, Mickey,
yes.
Karate, boxing.
Right.
Wait, let's not forget the director who directed the first Rocky directed the Karate Kid.
Get out
there
of
you
here.
Go.
John G. Avildsen.
Yeah. Wow, look at JT coming in hot from the booth. What? So now we got we're at this thing and in walks Thunderlips.
It's the greatest thing ever.
And in real life, Hulk Hogan's 6'6", and Rocky's like 5'10", right? Balboa, or Stallone's 5'10", something like that. JT, how tall is Balboa?
He's like 5'7", 5'8".
Okay.
In real life, in a movie, he might have been more.
Right. Well, in the movie, they say he's 6 feet.
Right.
And they make Thunderlips 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
And they make him bigger than life. So he's walking in. Paulie's like, who's carrying him? He's like, nobody's carrying him.
He's walking.
Right.
Oh, it's the greatest.
And he has the, and let me read the quote, because the quote's incredible. Thunderlips comes into the ring, and he's got like four girls, four babes.
The best.
As my dad would call. I don't, did your dad call girls
babes? Hey, look at those babes. Hey, buddy.
So my dad called him babes too. So in walks Hogan. He's got like one of those pimp hats on, just like a robe undone, right? And he's gigantic.
I mean,
he's huge. And he just grabs the microphone and he goes, to all my slaves
love out there. Slaves out there, right?
To all my love slaves out there, Thunderlips is here in the flesh, baby. The ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball. And then he, dude, it doesn't get any better.
Dude, the best.
That.
And there's actually a quote that I've actually tried to base part of my life on right before that. As he's walking towards the ring, everybody's like, is this a good idea?
Yeah.
And Mickey's like, he says something like, why would you do this? And Rocky's like, it's for charity. And Paulie's like, nobody would do this much for charity. And then Rocky goes, Bob Hope would. And Mickey's like, yeah, you got a point. So like whenever I get offered a gig, I think of that. And I go, yeah, Bob Hope would do this.
Absolutely. So then the fight between Thunderlips gets out of control quick. We think it's just going to be this thing. And all of a sudden, Thunderlips just starts attacking Rocky.
Yeah.
Adrian's freaking out. Then Mickey has the first sign that things might not be right with his heart. Right.
Yes.
And the other trainer guy, one of those no-name trainers that seems to appear in every movie, he never talks at all in anything. He was like the other guy in the corner that we never meet.
Oh.
He's just an actor.
Is it Al Savani?
Yeah, Al Savani.
Right. I think he's a legendary cut man.
Oh, okay.
I honestly think that's who you're talking about. I'm not sure.
Well, he's the only other guy in the corner.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And Mickey has like the thing collapse and whatever. Then Thunderlips throws him in the crowd. Everybody's freaking out. Adrian's freaking out. And his mom, like the kid. Little.
Do you know what this is based on?
This is based on the actual Rocky guy fighting Andre the Giant.
No.
And Mickey has like the thing collapse and whatever. Then Thunderlips throws him in the crowd. Everybody's freaking out. Adrian's freaking out. And his mom, like the kid. Little.
Do you know what this is based on?
This is based on the actual Rocky guy fighting Andre the Giant.
No, and then also Gorilla Monsoon was going to fight Muhammad Ali.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Muhammad Ali took a jab at him. Gorilla Monsoon slipped the jab and just picked him up off the ground and put him in the airplane spin and dumped him on his head.
Get out of here.
Yeah, the coolest.
That. Oh, that's awesome. So then, and originally, the stuntman that gets thrown in the crowd, Frank Stallone wanted to do that.
Why?
I don't know. And Rocky said, no, it's too dangerous. So they used a stuntman. Frank Stallone wanted to do it, whatever. Didn't do it. Then Rocky goes street, Philadelphia.
Yep. Cut my gloves.
And then Paulie just has a switchblade on him.
Of course he does.
Of course he does. Cuts the gloves, and then Rocky starts going at the body, and now Mickey's like telling him to actually box the dude with his like body, hit the body. Then it's over. The guy with the long mustache just calls a draw.
Yeah. Leroy Neiman, I think.
They take a Polaroid, whatever, and they're all Leroy Neiman. You're right.
Yeah.
And
famous artist.
Yeah. And he's the one that did the art at the end.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to. That was that fight with Thunderlips, and like they take the Polaroid, and like he at the end he's like. anything, whatever, like how to make a show or something. I don't know what he says.
It's all part of the game. It's all, yeah, it's all part like of the that. Game. It's and, so good.
Right. And then they go to, it cuts to him and the kid in like some weird Model T that they're like driving outside the house.
Do you know and he's like about? Telling him like Goldilocks or something yeah, like that.
Yeah, tell him some weird rendition of Goldilocks. And he's like, Dad, are you going to keep fighting? He's like, no, I don't fight no more.
Yeah, his life's perfect.
His life's great. He's driving a Model T golf cart around his palatial estate in outside suburban Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And then they go to the statue unveiling, which is still, it's outside the Spectrum, right? Is it?
No, they moved it to the bottom of the steps, I believe, of the art museum.
Oh, they did? Yeah. So it's there now. Okay. So, I mean, it's still in Philadelphia. And originally, like, people didn't think it was art. They thought it was catchy, and they didn't want it outside the art museum, so they moved
yeah,
to the Spectrum.
Some, yeah, yeah.
I think they might have moved
it. Dude, back. That used to be the place, by the way, this little sidebar.
Yeah.
Before the internet, before everybody had cell phones,
yeah.
When you were going to a concert at the Spectrum, everybody would go, all right, dude, we'll meet in front of the Rocky statue.
Perfect.
But then there'd be a million people trying to meet their friends in front of the Rocky yeah. statue, so it was just chaos anyway. Yeah.
We had this, there was an amusement park in Pittsburgh called Kennywood, and if you had to meet your parents at like Kennywood Day, you had to meet them at the merry-go-round, and then like
everybody was like, oh, why can't we pick a different?
Yeah. So then that's the scene. JT, do you want to play the memorable scene here at the statue?
This is the greatest.
This is incredible.
Because the same guy, Mr. T,
is
there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Clubber Lang is in the crowd.
Get out of my face. I don't need nothing you got no more.
No, this is the match. We need the outside the statue unveiling.
And you better get that bad look on your face before I knock you.
That's when Mr. T's talking smack to Apollo Creed. Yeah. Dude, he's just, this is what I don't understand, man. Mr. T, all right, give us the thumbs up when the scene's ready.
We're ready.
Okay,
we're ready.
Go for it. All right, because I want to get into this after this.
I know.
Here we go.
I should step down, maybe, and retire.
No, some lesser people.
It's the greatest of overacting from all the extras. Yeah.
What? No!
Don't get a sucker no statue.
Yes.
Give him guts. I told you I wasn't going away. You got your shot. Now give me mine.
Why should you get the hell out of there?
Mickey knows.
Job, man, I ain't going nowhere. And why don't you tell all these nice folks why you've been ducking me? Politics, man. This country wants to keep me down.
We didn't, in the opening montage, Mickey
was watching all the time.
I'm not a puppet like that fool up there.
You know, you've got a big mouth, you know?
Why don't you come out and close it, bad boy? Come on. Come on.
This guy's crazy. Don't listen to him.
The little man don't want to come to me. Then I'll come to you people and lay out the truth. I am ranked number one. One! That means so I'm good. The best. But this bum been taking the easy matches, fighting other bums. I'm telling you and everybody here, I'll fight him anywhere, anytime, for nothing.
Fight him,
but you people ain't never going to see it happen because he's going to retire. You see, he don't fight no real man. He fight them setups.
What? You're a disgrace to this sport.
Make shut up, old man. You let chump know where I had to come from. Bad boy, your family doing real nice, ain't it? You call yourself a fighter? Prove it now. Give me that same chance. The way he's been ducking is the disgrace.
Oh, he's
if he ain't
so
no
good.
Coward, why don't he fight me then?
I can't listen anymore to this. Hey, anytime.
I don't care what you're ranked. You don't get no shot, and I mean that.
I'm glad Burgess you people are seeing this here.
What are you doing? Because I want to fight this guy.
Well, you got him. But you'll fight him without me.
Mickey's not going to do it because he's got the heart.
Yes, I'm finished.
But Rocky didn't see the heart thing at Thunderlust.
I don't want no more. You understand?
And he doesn't
want
to see Rocky get hurt.
No.
It's over with.
But judging by my fighting record. Hey, woman. Hey, woman.
Now.
Listen here. Since your old man ain't got no heart, maybe you'd like to see a real man. I bet you stay up late every night dreaming you had a real man, don't you? I'll tell you what, bring your pretty little self over to my apartment tonight, and I'll show you a real man.
Three,
you
want
you
two.
Not even
2 seconds.
Don't listen.
Well, I think we should take.
You don't insult his person, his anything in his personal life. You don't insult anything. As soon as you insult Adrian, forget about best. It. Life is over.
It's like a dog off the chain.
Now, Mickey disappears. And then Mickey and Rocky have a nice
this is
sit
one of
down
the best.
In the house.
Dude, if you really think about the pacing of this movie, it's just
nailed
it's
it.
Boom,
scene
boom,
scene.
Boom,
no
boom,
useless
boom,
scenes
boom,
except
nothing.
For like that weird singing scene like at the beginning of the movie with he and Adrian in bed, which made no real sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that's beyond the point. So now he goes and he and Mickey have a sit down. And Mickey, he can't win.
The worst thing that could happen to a fighter is you get civilized.
Exactly. And this, and he nailed it because you look at those training montages of Clubber Lang. He's doing pull ups off like dead ant, like bodies of people. He was training like Rocky was training in one.
That's I think that's what they're really trying to show too.
And then we go to the that scene. That's not a guilty pleasure scene. That's just two actors.
Really, it's awesome.
And Burgess Meredith, one of the best of all time.
The worst thing. And he was like, this kid, he'll kill you.
Yeah, we will join the circus. Right?
Yeah.
That's his thing, right? And Burgess Meredith, I don't know if that's written or that's just Burgess Meredith.
Oh, he's so lovable.
The best.
I mean, like, he really, because I still get sad when what's going about to happen, what we're going to talk about, because Burgess Meredith was so good in these movies.
It was incredible.
And you could tell he loved him, and he was like, hey, man, this dude's a killer. He's not a normal boxer.
No.
And then Rocky's like, hey, what if I really bust my ass training?
Right.
So Mickey reluctantly agrees to let him take the fight.
Sure. And Mickey knows in his heart of hearts that he really shouldn't do that at all.
Yeah.
And Mickey,
go out on top, man.
Just go out on top. But
you got the money.
Listen,
you got
insulted
the house.
Adrian. This is it. You don't question an Italian guy from Philadelphia's manhood, right?
Lunatics.
So he got... The South Philly lunatic.
Oh, crazy.
So he figures training camp, the best place to have training camp is at the Ritz-Carlton Grand Ballroom.
Yep. And he's got the band. That was the best. The Italian band. The guy's got the accordion, and for some reason, bubbles are floating out. And
Mickey hates the bubbles. He hates it.
Yeah. But, it's not a gym. He's not training hard at all. He's taking on a juggernaut. He's taking on probably... Look, Apollo Creed was the best boxer Rocky probably fought.
Sure.
But this guy is a force of nature.
Right, and he's a
He just
man.
Hits... I don't think any of his fights have gone over three rounds.
No.
He just hits like a truck, and he is so close to what he wants as the title. He can taste the blood. Rocky's got
that,
the fight of his career coming up, and he's not taking it seriously.
Clubber Lang's like the Gary Busey of boxing at this point. He doesn't have anything up on his head but beating the crap
That's
out
it.
Of Rocky.
Like,
he's going to kill him.
Like Steve Buscemi in... Billy Madison, where he's just got the list of people he wants to take out with his sniper rifle and then puts on the lipstick he just wants to take out. Oh, and speaking of lipstick, a lot of people have talked about my dad impression, and I do have to say this. I remember my dad when he first saw Stallone's face in the opening image.
Of this Rocky? Or?
He was, of Rocky III. My dad was so disappointed. What, it slid into his face? He looks like a broad. And they even mentioned that his plastic surgery in this one. Yeah. They're like, oh, you pretty yourself up or something like that.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Yeah.
Your dad had to be angry.
So angry.
I remember my dad. I remember the first time, basically, we always talk about the first time we pretty much watched this movie. We were down in the basement, which is where the Macuga boys always watch the cool movies, right?
Yeah.
And my mom was upstairs. It was a Sunday afternoon. Because that's when, like, remember, movies used to come on Sunday afternoon. It like, wasn't during football season, but it was still cold outside. So we were in the basement watching movies on a Sunday. You finished your homework. Your mom was upstairs cooking sauce.
The best.
And Rocky III comes on, and my dad's like, I think it's time you kids watch this movie. And we're sitting in the basement, and after that, my dad just like starts setting up. He like builds a heavy bag out of pillows. He's like, oh, you gotta put, and like, we're like teaching boxing. And it was the best.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was the best. So he goes to this, he's in this training montage in Ritz-Carlton, and I don't know if you know this, when he's on the bike and the woman's like, Rocky, can I have a kiss? That's his first wife.
Okay,
that's
Stallone's blonde.
The blonde.
Okay.
So they're like training, and like, yeah, kid, you know, they get to the end of the sort of montage, I guess. Like, kid, this is good. Let's go out. This is great, you know, like me and you, whatever. Yeah. And then they get to the actual fight.
Yeah. Right?
And this is, man, I mean, this is sad. This is just awful because the first time I saw it, you don't see Mickey dying. You don't ever see that coming. You don't see him getting his butt just destroyed. I mean, you see him, he's definitely going to lose, but he gets absolutely worked.
Yeah, it's like, how can we generate more conflict, heighten the stakes? How about the guy you love the most in this whole franchise?
Gets killed
because Clubber Lang's such a jerk. Remember, he's pushing him?
Pushing
out of the way, old man!
Yeah.
Boom.
And he's got a weak heart
as is.
And he falls
over. But a lot of that's ridiculous. Like, I'm like, why didn't they rush him straight to the hospital?
I know.
He's still backstage like, how we do, kid?
Yeah. I mean, in the modern days, ambulance comes, rushes him straight to the hospital.
And you would think if
fine.
Anywhere there's a doctor, there would be a doctor at a boxing match.
Like a million at a boxing match. And then... You know, he has that moment, and then the first time we see Mickey's last name is when they put him in the tomb. His name is Mickey Goldmill.
Yeah, the best.
And he's a Jewish guy, and Rocky's reciting the Jewish funeral, whatever.
Yep.
And now, Rocky, now it's the lonely montage time. You know, they're going to fly now on the piano, and he's walking around old Philadelphia, and he throws the helmet at his statue off the motorcycle.
Yeah, because he lost it. He got his ass kicked.
Right.
So Mickey drops before the fight.
Yep.
Clubber Lang beats him horrifically.
Destroys him.
Yeah, and I think it was within three rounds.
Oh, knocked him out in the second round?
Yeah, just lumps him up.
Yeah.
Goes through him like a freight train.
Oh, yeah.
And now Rocky's like questioning everything.
So they're in the old gym. Rocky hits the in the punching bag.
I forgot. Yes, this is the best.
And walks the silhouette of Apollo. Got to hit it straight. You can't hit it from the side. You got to hit it straight on.
Apollo?
Yeah. What are you doing? Well, I waited by your house for an hour, and your wife told me you might be here. So now Apollo.
This is when the movie gets awesome.
Because now. He
offers to train him.
Dude, this is like when, you know, in Red Dawn, when the Wolverines finally come across and they start taking
start
down.
Start spray painting stuff, yeah.
Like two forces of nature have joined together. Foes become friends.
Oh, it was so great. I remember being a little kid. I was like, this is the greatest thing ever.
I mean, can you imagine the pitch room when they're pitching this idea? They're like, Rocky is going to get trained by Apollo. Everybody's like, what?
Yes!
Genius! Yeah, Carl Weathers is like, they're bringing me back for Rocky 3 and I'm going to have an even better part. Ah, dude. So now they're like, we got to get take it back. And if you notice anything in these like 80s movies, they make every city look super dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, there was a reason why I was scared of going into the city, because I thought that as soon as you went into a city, it was just going to be all homeless people and you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's bad.
This is what happened. Because Carl Weathers offers to train Rocky and he was like, well, why would you want to do it? And he's like, we'll talk about it later.
Right.
It's a little creepy.
Right. We don't know.
But what he says is essentially is that's where he coined. I think it's in that gym scene. It's later. So he brings him to L.A.
Mm-hmm. Where he started.
Yeah, where he started. Apollo. He's going to train him how to be a boxer like Apollo Creed.
Right. And they get to Skid Row.
Oh, there's not. How about the dude like, ooh.
Talking to Paulie's like, no class.
Yeah, Paulie's complaining the whole time.
And Paulie, this is the first where we see Paulie's definitely a racist. Because he says, these people, I don't like these people because they're all black people.
And he goes, maybe they don't like you. And he goes, what I ever do to them? Yeah, like completely.
And then they get to the gym, which is basically a condemned attic. It's the scariest looking place I've ever seen. There's definitely.
Yeah, it's like the West Coast version of Rocky's original gym.
Right.
It's where Apollo Creed trained. And then it all stops when Apollo Creed walks in with Rocky Balboa.
And they're like, what's he doing here? And then all of a sudden, everybody warms up to him.
Yeah, but, well, because Apollo's there. But remember, he goes, take a look, Rock.
Yeah.
You see that look in their eye?
Yeah.
That's the eye of the tiger.
Yeah.
That's the look you had in your eye when we. Yeah. So good.
So now we're like, now Apollo is taking him back and trying to like retrain him as a fighter.
Absolutely.
As a boxer. And that's when Paulie lets down, you can't train him like a colored fighter, another racist thing. Can't listen to this jungle funk, another racist thing. Music, whatever. But Rocky just doesn't see it. He's trying to do it. He's flat footed. He's not ready.
Apollo takes him out of his environment.
Right.
Puts him in the crappy motel room. Skid Row.
Hotel Lorraine, of course.
Yeah, he's staying on Skid Row. He's trying to train Apollo's gym. He's trying to get him to swim. You're going to use muscles you never knew you had.
Yeah.
But now, for whatever reason, Stallone's not into it.
He's not.
Rocky can't get he's not training
he's
well.
He's despondent. He's like,
do you remember the sparring scene where Apollo Creed's sparring with him and he's just lighting him up
in the
corner?
It's a hook! It's a hook! Come on, Rock! Like, he's pissed.
There is no tomorrow!
Yeah, right?
There is no tomorrow, Rock! Right? And you're going, what's happening? So now he's taking him on the beach to run.
Right. He takes him on the Santa Monica Beach here in Southern California.
And he's like, we're trying to run. And then he just smokes him. Just Rocky gives up.
And
then Rocky's having flashbacks of getting his head kicked in.
JT,
so Apollo Creed.
Go ahead, JT. What do you got?
Can I just say one of my favorite lines from Paulie is when Apollo's training him to swim.
Yeah.
And he's like, just doing horrible. And Paulie's like, they don't call him Rock for a reason.
No, exactly.
Can he swim with a name like Rock?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. But, dude, this is all leading to one of the best scenes in the whole movie.
Without a doubt.
Because Mickey's no longer there, okay? Paulie's no help. Apollo Creed's doing everything he can.
Right.
He's trying to get Rocky motivated. Apollo Creed wants to kick Clubber Lang's ass so bad that he wants to use Rocky's fists.
Right.
So he's trying to take everything he's learned.
Well said, by the way.
So he's trying to take everything he's learned so Clubber Lang gets a taste of humility, right?
Right.
But Rocky's not into it. He can't keep his hands up. He's getting lit up in the ring. He can't swim. Now he's taking him to the beach so they can go for a run, and he just gets lapped.
It's a win
spin. And he's like, it's over.
It's done.
He's just like, it's over.
It's over.
And then Adrian's like, what do you mean? He goes, it's over. So now Adrian has to step up.
Yeah.
And you see how strong she is.
Right. I think maybe, can I be Adrian, or you want to be Adrian? Look, do you want to reenact?
Do we have to?
No, I think we should just improv it. Just try and get.
Well, this is, remember what happens?
Yeah, I mean, she walks over and the slow piano of "Gonna Fly Now."
Oh, it's so good.
What's wrong? You tell me.
I don't remember what he. I just remember when he was like, "I'm afraid."
What do you need? We got a house. We got cars. We got money.
But does the kid for the first time in my life? I'm afraid.
What do you want? I'm afraid. And that's when she's like, Apollo believes you can do it. I believe you can do it. Polly believes you can do it. But you need to believe you can do it.
Oh,
it's, and
then so it's just good. Like,
Adrian to the rescue again. It was like in Rocky 2 when she's in the hospital.
When?
What are we waiting for?
This
is when you know it's going to happen.
And this whole time also, because we got a clip, Clubber is not even fazed the fact that Rocky's coming after him.
No, because the rematch has been announced. Let's play that clip.
This is how awesome Mr. T was, by the way. And I think kids need to know, after this movie, Mr. T became like this pop culture megastar. And the one thing I don't understand, and I lived through it. I was a child that lived through it. He is so ferocious. When you hear this clip, I mean, he's just mocking. He called out Mickey. Mickey's at his fight.
He doesn't care.
And then
if you're
he calls 70, out Rocky
or 30.
He just wants to beat people up.
A woman, a man, doesn't matter.
I train alone. Yes. I live alone. I want to win the title alone. And he goes out. He wins the title
with
and,
trainers, by the way. But he didn't do it alone. Right. But he did.
My point is, he's so scary in
this. Yeah.
He's just supposed to be the toughest guy ever, and then he winds up being a cartoon character.
Nobody else can pull off a haircut toys. Like that. Nobody. Nothing. I one time had a Clubber Lang, or not Clubber, Mr. T pocket, like little recorder, and you would press buttons and be like, I pity the fool.
It's so great.
It was awesome.
I had a GPS TomTom with, instead of the lady voice, it was Mr. T's voice.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So if you missed his turn, he'd be like, you missed a turn, fool.
Oh, so great.
All right, play his, right, the clip we got there.
No, I don't hate Balboa, but I pity the fool, and I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got.
What's your prediction for the fight then?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain.
So good. That's before the second fight, by the way.
Yeah.
It's all right. We jumped ahead. Just the detachment. No, everybody knows. That was before the second fight, like the big
fight. That's what we're getting ready for, because they're running on the beach. Adrian comes to the rescue.
Right. Now, this gets to the point where this is a guilty pleasure movie, because this training montage is awesome. He pulls Polly in when he's swimming. He becomes from, like, only being able to do doggy paddle to like being an awesome swimmer.
Yeah, the butterfly.
He finally beats Apollo in the race, and they have, like, that bro embrace on the beach in, like, they run into the water and they love each
other. Splashing around like lovers.
I know. It's a little intense. It's a little... There's a lot of camera close-ups of like their legs throbbing as they run. There's a lot of junk shots.
Dude, definitely. I don't know much about marketing, but Nike's logo is all over this movie. They must have got paid a ton of cash.
And they looked like University of Miami guys, because they had like the crop tops and they were just like running down the beach.
Halter tops on
halter
dudes.
Tops.
It was the 80s.
Yeah. So now we get to the fight. This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Yep.
There are some great moments backstage where Apollo's like, remember where you came from. Remember what you've been through.
You remember what he gives him?
He gives him the shorts.
Yeah.
He gives him his colors, right? He gives him the USA, the Stars and Stripes colors that he wants him to wear in the fight. They come walking out. Now, I don't know. I wasn't a boxing, nor was I really old enough to know, but are Stu Mahan and the other guy, were they real boxing announcers, or were they just like guys?
I think they were real. Okay. I think they were real sports announcers.
Now, my favorite line in all of the Rocky movies.
Because I think Stu Mahan was also in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Okay. Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah, so he must have been a real guy.
So my favorite line is when he walks out and he takes off his robe, like, he looks thin. Look at this. He's like, he looks like a middleweight.
I love that line
so much. All I've ever wanted to do is walk into a boxing ring and some guys say that, like, he looks like a middleweight.
Well, that starts setting up the strategy.
Yeah.
That he's going to be in better shape, because, you know, Clubber Lang hasn't gone the distance.
Right.
He's a juggernaut.
Because nobody's been able to survive his punches.
Exactly.
Right. So then out comes. So, you know, when they get to the thing and they're eye to eye, and Clubber Lang goes, I'm going to bust you up. And then what does Rocky say?
Go for it.
Oh, shit.
Fireworks, guns blasting. Oh my God.
Because Rocky was scared. Do you remember? Because that's junk. That's in the first fight. Clubber Lang's like, look in his eyes. He's afraid. He knows it.
Yeah. But now Clubber's like, oh shit, this is a different guy.
Yeah, this dude is not afraid. You want to know why? Because, you know, what's he looking at him with now? The eye of the tiger. That's what he's looking at. He's looking into the eyes of the tiger, and Clubber Lang doesn't know what he's up against. He's never seen it before.
Never. And he doesn't even know how to respond to the eye of the tiger. You look in the eye of a tiger,
I'm like, man, breathing heavy. Remember that? So now they're trading blows, and then, do you remember now, he's Clubber Lang's putting it on Rocky, but then Paulie, the one that knows him best, goes, No, he's not getting beat up. He's getting mad.
And he comes back after round two, and he's like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. It's a strategy. He's like, don't show me. Just do it.
Oh, and he goes so out good. There,
and now Clubber Lang is exhausted. He's swinging. And this is the moment where you're like, you're thinking Rocky's in the middle of round two. You're thinking Rocky's getting killed. And Rocky just is like, starts
he's
getting
taking
hit. He's
like,
you ain't so bad. You ain't so bad. Give me what you got. Give me what you got. Move on.
And my grandmother hits harder than that. Yeah. You know how many times I used Rocky quotes when fighting one of my brothers?
Oh, every time.
Every time. Every time. Your grandmother's also my grandmother.
Your brother's always smarter than me.
Yeah, always smarter.
Now we're in the end of the round three, and in comes Rocky, just throwing haymakers. Everything's good. And then, you know, at the end of these fights, it's like that, like,
yep, you know, the music lets you know what's happening.
The music lets you know what's happening. And then it looks like it's going to end the same way Rocky 2 ended, where they're both going to fall down.
Yep.
But he stands up and he stays, and Clubber Lang is knocked out, and everything goes nuts. And it's like, and he comes up, and Adrian says, how do you feel? And he's like, never better.
So great.
It's so great. Now, you think that this is going to how the movie ends, because all the other Rockies have ended the same way.
So
with
good.
Championship and just frozen, whatever. In walks Rocky and Apollo with, like, their
well, yeah,
training
it
things.
Well, yeah, because it fades away from this, and you go, what's happening?
Owes me a favor. The yep. whole the running theme with Apollo is that Rocky's going to owe him a favor. Rocky's going, what's his favor?
Yeah.
What's his favor? Is? So it cuts in, and he's like, I don't know about this. Oh, and they get in the ring, and now they're going to fight. No cameras or nothing, because that's a man of his intelligence. It's hard for him to take. I mean, by 1 second, right? I mean, by 1 second. That's a man, yeah. Hard man of my intelligence. And then, boom, ding, it ends, and the movie is painted.
Roll the Eye of the Tiger.
Roll the Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, Leroy Neiman painting.
Leroy, and tears just stream down your face.
Yeah, it's
Rocky,
the greatest.
It was so good. Because now, really and truly, what I was thinking is, they
remember the
this,
life advice, though? It was so great, because they're walking in, their but now
their
it's
buds.
So great. They're best buddies. He's like, age before beauty, whatever. It's a shame we got to get old, Stallion.
Ding. Yes.
Remember, he goes like this, just keep punching Apollo. And he puts the mouthpiece in, and that's how Rocky lived his life, man. He just kept on punching.
And
it's a great advice for all of us.
Really and truly, I bet when Rocky 3 ended, everybody that walked out of the theater thought, what a great trilogy. What a great way to end a trilogy. We didn't think there was going to be another Rocky.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be a grown man living in California as an adult still watching Rocky movies in the theater.
Uh-huh, exactly.
It's been something that was, you know, my whole life.
Yeah.
And say whatever you want about Sylvester Stallone, like, to create a character that's just so accessible to everybody that everybody can relate to.
Yeah. I mean, he made a career out of being a totally fake boxer. He got hit by Joe Louis one time and got knocked out. Like,
I'm sure.
You don't, like, actual boxers. Go ahead, JT. You popped
He's
up.
He's in the Hall of Fame of boxing.
Yes.
Right. Amazing.
Sylvester Stallone is. He loves boxing. He started that. What was that reality show he did?
The Contender.
The Contender. Great show. He's always in the background of some, like, boxing match, whatever. But, you know, when you went into boxing, everybody always said, well, you'd be like Rocky. You'd be like Rocky. That was everybody's dream. When you were a white kid growing up, it's like an Italian. It didn't matter if you're in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Omaha, Nebraska. You wanted to be Rocky Balboa.
Yep. Until I saw the scene where he goes, cut me, Mick.
Yeah.
And he had a cut and the blood just went flying. I was like, okay, as a little face. Kid, I'm like, I'm all right.
I'm good. But that was, I mean, that was our guilty movie pleasure, Rocky III. Way too much fun.
It was awesome.
Dude.
Yeah. And I'm glad I got to go back and watch it. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and there's some great moments, and there's some flat-out ridiculous moments in that movie.
And that's what makes a guilty movie pleasure.
Yeah, that
and
was
we
great.
Will do Rocky IV and Rocky V.
Yeah, Rocky IV was great.
Without
that's
a doubt.
That soliloquy at the end.
Ugh. Views can change,
It just flies by whenever we come in here.
It's so much fun. And thank you guys always for watching. Go to iTunes. We're gonna tweet out the links at Josh McCuga, at Steve Simone. What you got upcoming gigs you want to...
Friday, October 3rd, I'm going to be at the Melrose Improv. I'm going to headline that.
Beauty.
And there's a great... I also do another podcast called Good Times.
Good Times.
And I had the pro wrestler Roddy Piper on episode 3, where he talks about how he really wanted to beat up Mr. T and how he was going to do it. Because as we were talking and how great Mr. T was in this and how scary he was to us, to somebody like Roddy Piper, he was like, he's just an actor.
Yeah.
And I'm a legit tough guy. And I'm going to prove to him the difference between a real life tough guy and a movie tough guy.
He never got the opportunity.
Oh, man. You
got to listen to Good Times.
Yeah, and listen to that episode.
So go listen to Good Times with Steve Simone. Next week, I think, next week being released is The Maze Runner. It's a movie about kids in a maze. I figure maybe a good idea would be to do Labyrinth. You want to do Labyrinth?
Oh my God. Yeah, let's do it.
Labyrinth. So next week, and I got a great, I got a David Bowie story that'll blow your mind. So that's for all the listeners. Fantastic. Next week. Thank you guys. Hashtag it GMP or just, you know, tweet at us at Josh McGuga, at Steve Simone. Go to our Facebook page, Guilty Movie Pleasures on the Schmoes No Network or the Schmoville fan page and Facebook. We'll be posting pictures, you know, as and the links for this show. And again, go to iTunes, rate, get us up to number one on iTunes. We love you guys. Thank you so much for watching Guilty Movie Pleasures. We'll see you next time.
You guys are the best. Take care.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes No Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to Guilty Movie Pleasures. What's your pleasure? Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Guilty Pleasure movie episodes or other episodes of the Schmoes No Network shows, get movie news, or to join the conversation, be sure to visit schmoesno.com. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of the Schmoes No Network.